Warning, this podcast may contain graphic violence, sexual themes, and bad language. If our language offends you, we apologize, but we do not give a fuck. Be mindful of your kids listening.
The Evil Never Dies Podcast.
Hey, everybody. This is the Evil Never Dies Podcast. I'm your host, Brett, here with my co-host, Carl Todd. What's going on this week, brother?
Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning.
Yeah, we're recording early tonight.
We are.
Not drinking. Are you proud of me?
I'm proud of you. I'm drinking a little that new vodka of mine, but it's just for a minute.
Well, if we do what we're going to do later, I might have to, so.
Yeah, we don't know if we're going to get to or not.
Yeah, so, okay. But anyway. Oh, nothing new went on this week except it's hot as fuck.
I got my new Learn to Play Games shirt on.
Oh, was that? They had them at Spirit, didn't they?
I don't know. I found it at the mall. Learn to Play Games with Jigsaw. I think that's a good thing right there.
I got my shirt that Colette made me. And it's got...
Yeah. It's got... Well, hell, I like that.
Yeah. So, tonight, or this afternoon, whatever the hell it is, we're getting a little tawny.
Brett's been trying to push this movie out for about a month. So.
Oh, I have not.
Yeah, he has. And we're doing Witchboard, the 1986 movie from, I have no idea who actually produced this movie.
Well, we're going to get into that.
It was not a big company production. I know that much.
No. It was written and directed by Kevin Turney, and this was actually his first directorial debut, produced by Gerald Jeffrey. I guess that's how you say it. It's like Jeffrey, but with an A. Okay. Cinematography was done by Roy H. Wagner, edited by Daniel Duncan and Stephen J. Waller, music by Dennis Michael Tierney. I guess that's Kevin Tierney's brother, maybe.
Maybe.
Not much of a soundtrack to this. There was
no, they had that one stupid 80s song playing through most of it.
Yeah, that bubblegum metal or whatever the hell you want to call it.
That's actually playing on the Blu-ray on the menu.
And the rest of the soundtrack, there wasn't really
just noises and effects.
Yeah, nothing much to it, so. Production company, Paragon Arts International.
Which, yeah, no clue who they are.
Never heard of them before. Distributed by the Cinema Group, whoever that is.
Don't know who they are either.
Release date was December 31st, 1986. Running time of 98 minutes. Country of origin is the United States. English language. Budget was $1.5 to $2 million. And take a wild guess on how much they made.
They made about $77 million, I think.
Yeah, 7.4, which probably be about double today. Probably.
Well, they also had $50,000 bond they had to put down for this movie. You want to know why?
Deal with Parker Brothers.
The movie was going to be called Ouija, and apparently Parker Brothers did not approve, so they had to put a bond down and just to get the movie done, and they had to change out the Ouija boards. So there's two Ouija boards in this movie.
Yes, there is.
So part of that 1.5 to 2 million was in legal issues. Jeez. I don't know what Parker Brothers' problem was, but apparently they had one. Of course, years later, we would get a movie called Ouija, but this ended up being called Witchboard. And I was listening to the director and the producer and the writer, and well, actually, I think Tenney produced and wrote it. Did he not? And he said that they think in the end, Witchboard was a better name anyway.
I think it's a cooler name, actually, than Ouija.
I don't know if many people in the mid-80s, you know, would have been as familiar with Ouija then as they are now.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think this movie is kind of what brought the Ouija boards back to popularity.
Yeah, so Parker Brothers probably made a killing off of it.
Well, Parker Brothers no longer exists, so they should have played well with Witchboard, and they might still be in business.
Look that up. Who owns the Ouija board rights now? Look that up.
That's a good question, because it's not Parker Brothers. I'm going to look that up right now.
Oh, you ain't got the...
I don't have a Ouija board with me. No, I've got them on the walls.
You don't have your iPad out tonight?
No, I'm looking on the computer, actually.
Oh, okay.
Well, crap. They don't say who owns it.
So anybody can just go around making a Ouija board then?
No, somebody owns the rights to it, but let's keep on talking while I look. You would think this would be easy to find information, but it's sort of hid.
Well, let's go over the plot then, I guess. I'll go over the plot.
You do the plot while I try to find out who the hell now owns Parker Brothers' former products.
Basically, this girl is having a party at her apartment or house or whatever, and one of her guests brings a Ouija board, and she ends up getting addicted to it, basically, and won't put it down and keeps asking it questions and all that, and ends up actually getting possessed from the spirit that she brought through the Ouija board.
That she does.
And that's basically the plot.
We now know that Hasbro owns the trademark of the Ouija board.
Hasbro? Okay.
Yeah, Hasbro owns.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't for sure.
I did too, but for some reason I was thinking of Milton Bradley, but no. They own Kenner, Milton Bradley, Parker Brothers, and Wizards of the Coast. So Hasbro owns a whole bunch of stuff. That includes Dungeons and Dragons, Ouija boards, Monopoly, and about every board game that exists. So Hasbro is the answer to that question that we did not have. So I don't know everything, apparently. I'm supposed to know everything, but I thought it was Hasbro, but for some reason, Milton Bradley's, I think they did have their name on it for a few years.
All right.
Yes, I have about 6 Ouija boards in this house, and people are scared of them. That's one reason why I have them.
I'm not scared of them. I just don't have the, just don't want to do it.
My buddy was here the other night going to baseball, and he's looking over on the wall. I've got like 5 Ouija boards lined up, and he was looking at that, and his eyes got real big. And I'm like, yeah, this is a museum of the haunt.
Oh, he ain't never seen it before? Or?
No, he'd never been here before.
Oh, okay.
So I said, I told you I have a museum. He's like, yeah. I think he was a little intimidated.
Oh, shit.
You all right. Ouija boards hanging from walls in most places. This is a museum, and we're here
not
to scare
your
people.
Normal household.
All right. It's enough of that. It's not normal.
All right. Let's go over the cast.
Let's do. I like the cast.
First off, we got Todd Allen as James Morar. I never heard him called that. I just heard him called Jim in the whole movie.
Jim.
And he's like the main character, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, even though in the beginning he doesn't appear to be the main character.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those where he sort of grows into the main character, which I sort of like that about movies.
Next, we got Tawny Katane as Linda Brewster.
Wow.
See, I told you we were feeling Tawny.
Tawny Katane. And she's more known for being in heavy metal videos than anything, I guess. Yeah. Right? Dating Robin Crosby from Rat and having an affair with O.J. Simpson, too. Don't forget that one.
You've ruined it for me. That was part of my trivia, you rat bastard.
What, O.J.?
Yes.
Or Robin Crosby from Rat.
Oh, shit. And she dated Coverdale for...
She married Coverdale.
Yeah. They were together for a few years.
Coverdale said he had to pay a lot of money for her to go. He said, I want to... David Coverdale's always a real pleasant talking man, but when there's a couple people he didn't like, and I think Tawny Katane was one. He said, yeah, she was, she cost a lot to leave. And he doesn't like, John Sykes either, former guitar player of Whitesnake.
All right. Next we got Stephen Nichols as Brandon Sinclair.
The famous Stephen Nichols. You know what he's from?
What?
Days of Our Lives.
Oh, okay.
That's Patch right there, dude.
Oh, okay.
He's been on Days of Our Lives for like 40 years, I think.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't watch soap opera, so.
You need to watch, you can watch it on Peacock now.
Start off with like 1969 or whenever it came out.
That thing's like 68, 70 years old, something. It's like, been on the air longer than anything at this stage, I guess.
Yeah, I think there's a race between it and General Hospital.
I think Days of Our Lives has General Hospital beat. The ones
they
that
even play soap operas on during the day anymore? I don't think they do they?
The Days of Our Lives moved to Peacock. I don't know about the other ones.
Huh.
My mom watched Days of Our Lives. Because
I remember you know, every network had their own set of soap operas.
They did, but there's only like three left at this stage.
Yeah.
But the Days of Our Lives was known for its occult stuff, and they had Stefano D'Amara run around. He died like 50 times and come back from the grave. That's more like a Dark Shadow show than a soap opera.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that's where Stephen Nichols is famous for. He is Patch, and yeah, he wears a patch on his eye.
Okay, now I remember him.
Yeah.
Okay. God, he was young then.
He was young in this movie.
All right, next we got Kathleen Wilhoit as Sarah Zarabeth Crawford. She played the medium.
She was a trip, yeah.
Yeah, she was. TTFN.
Yeah, I like that.
Next we got Burke Burns as Lieutenant Dewhurst.
I didn't even understand why he was in the movie. Yeah.
He was a trip in it, man.
He shows up at the funeral scene and like, I think you murdered this guy. And like, what?
Jesus,
I don't even know why they had this character in the movie. He didn't really play any role.
He didn't actually seem like he was trying to solve anything.
Well, his gun played a role at the end, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a spoiler. It's just his gun happened to be at the right place at the right time.
Next, we got James W. Quinn as Lloyd. Rose Marie makes an appearance as Mrs. Moses.
Sure does.
The landlady. She was a cool old lady. Next, we got Judy Tatum as Dr. Gelino, Gloria Hayes as Wanda, J.P. Lubzin as Carlos Malfitor, Susan Nickerson as Chris, Ryan Carroll as Roger, Kenny Rhodes as Mike, and Claire Bristol as the anchor woman.
I didn't even remember her being in the movie.
And that is your cast for Witchboard.
I already stole your trivia. Sorry. I told you I know this movie quite well. This is one of the movies I used to watch all the time.
I watched it last night, and it's your typical 80s not so good acting.
Yeah, I thought the acting was okay. I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, Stephen Nichols, it's sort of Days of Our Lives type acting, really. Toni Kitaen is not really an actress, honestly. I mean, bless her heart and rest in peace. She has passed away.
Yeah.
So I don't want to talk bad about her, but
yeah, she had her
wasn't
issues.
Really the best actress, and it was a soap opera type acted, like you said, 80s movie, but it was fine. Now, what I remember most about this movie is that this is honestly where, back in the 80s, I got most of my Ouija board research. Because in the 80s, you just couldn't go to the bookstore and pick up a lot of these occult books like you can now, or look up on the internet.
Because of the satanic panic bullshit going on.
Satanic panic crap. And honestly, yeah, I mean, I knew what a Ouija board was. Of course, I called it Ouija board before. This movie's what changed the way I pronounce the Ouija board.
Yeah, I've never I've always pronounced it Ouija.
Well, apparently,
I guess I just know how to sound shit out better than.
Well, there's controversy to how it really is pronounced. According to some sources, it should be called Ouija, because the name came from a spirit that the guy that first put out the talking board, the spirit told him to call it that. So the other popular belief is that Ouija comes from French and German words for yes. So the German word and the French word of yes would be Ouija. But a lot of people say that is a misconcept. I don't know if it is or not, but I'm going to call it Ouija. I don't like Ouija. It sounds goofy. And if a ghost said to say it, ghosts lie. So it's a Ouija board. God dang it. But yeah, the movie taught me how to run a Ouija board. That's what I'll always remember it for.
All right. I guess the set was originally in Tenney's hometown of Fairfield in Northern California.
It was.
But they didn't have enough money to, I don't know why it would cost them more to film it there than it would in Hollywood.
I don't know.
That's sort of funny.
Now, Tenney wrote the story when he was going to college, and he drew inspiration because he went to a party where a friend had brought a Ouija board, and he started researching the history of it and learned about the progressive entrapment, which is where basically a demon entraps the body. The Exorcist sort of covers this.
Yeah.
So some of the script was based kind of on himself. He claimed he never believed in the board, but he does admit it's creepy. So I don't know. So that, I thought that was cool that he actually went to a party where somebody had a Ouija board and wrote a movie about it. And the whole progressive entrapment thing is an actual occult theory. Since we're not an occult show or a paranormal show, I ain't going to get into a lot of that stuff. I'm retired from that, remember?
Principal photography took place in the summer of 1985 at the Higgins Verbeck Hirsch Mansion in Windsor Square, Los Angeles. And there was also a couple other movies that were filmed there. Waxwork from 1988.
Love Waxwork.
And Willard from 1971. You remember Willard? Have you ever seen that?
Isn't it about the rat?
Yeah, the rats.
Yeah.
The original. Well,
there were two. There was one called Ben and then one called Will. Wasn't it, or am I wrong?
All I remember is I went to the theater with my mom to see Willard when it came out. I probably wasn't even five yet, dude. And all I remember is them rats running around. It was crazy, dude. And I seen it, the remake. I didn't like the remake with what's his name in it.
Crispin
Glover, yeah. But yeah. And also they filmed in Big Bear Valley in San Bernardino, California. I've been there.
Hmm.
Big Bear's pretty up there, man.
Yeah, there was a lot of pretty scenery in this movie. Like we said before the show started, a lot of it took place outside.
Yep.
It's a very bright movie for an 80s horror movie.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or supernatural movie. I don't really feel it's much of a horror movie per se.
And the lake scene was filmed at Big Bear Lake, which is, I think it's actually, because it's at the top of a mountain. I think it's a dormant volcano, actually.
Means it'd be a warm lake, then. Be a warm lake, then.
I don't know. It snows up there. It's a ski resort is actually what Big Bear is.
Hmm.
So, yeah. We already talked about the Ouija predicament with
Parker Brothers.
With Parker Brothers.
That was a big mess, apparently. This could have killed the movie, I think. They should have had it cleared before they started filming. That's what it amounted to. But they did change it to Witch Board, and they paid the bond, and they integrated the board footage with an alternate board, and everything was fine. Some, again, would have liked it to be called Ouija. Others liked the Witch Board name, and I would be a fan of the Witch Board name.
Yep.
I'm glad that we did have a movie called Ouija come out later, and then they made a prequel to it, and those are good movies as well.
I don't know if I've seen them or not. I might have to check them out.
They're sort of in the Conjuring world. So it's kind of type of thing.
Okay. Tawny Kitaen made this movie first, then made the White Snake music video for what song, Carl?
The first one would have been
Here I Go Again.
In the Still of the Night, and then Here I Go Again.
Okay.
I think In Still of the Night came first.
Well, she made this while the movie was in post-production, but both of them were released about the same time. So the music video not only made her famous, but it helped drive up sales for Witchboard.
Well, did you know that video is what sort of got me into hard rock? Because they kept playing it on MTV, and I'm like, I like that girl. She's pretty. So it got me to like Whitesnake. So honestly, if it hadn't been for Tawny Kitaen, I might have been listening to George Strait today. So let's give Tawny and David Coverdale some credit.
Yep. You already ruined the Tawny going out with OJ story there, so.
Hey, I can't help that I know stuff without your notes.
Let's see. Let me find something you haven't said here.
Well, if you give me a minute, I'll probably say it. Did you know there was a lot of eerie stuff going on the set?
Yeah, there was.
There were objects moving, things bumping around.
People getting bumped into, like they were walking into a wall. Yeah. Was that at that house?
It was at the house.
Okay. Well, that is a creepy old freaking house for sure. Let's see.
So what you got on your trivia?
Shooting the shower scene was very difficult for Tawny Kitaen. She felt nervous about being totally nude in front of the crew. So to make her feel more comfortable, the director and second camera loader assistant were kicked off the set once the effects were set up and ready to shoot. And what else here? The crew was very upset that they didn't get to hang on the set.
I don't blame them. I would be upset too.
They shot that scene multiple times and from several different angles. So she spent a lot of time wet and naked.
Probably on purpose. Unfortunately, that's how they treated.
Tenney had replied that she'd done nudity before, and I think she's probably done it since. But unlike Linnea Quigley, who don't give a shit and just get naked anytime. He worked with her in Night of the Demons too. So
Night
of the Demons.
The original or the remake?
Yeah, the original.
Oh, okay. I didn't know she was even in that.
Yeah. That was his second. I think that was his second movie.
I didn't know she was in that. So you taught me something with your trivias.
Okay. Kenny Rhodes kept the bandana that he wore in the film.
Oh, good for him.
And James Quinn, he was one of the lead guys' friends, construction worker guy with him. Came up with he always had sunglasses. Well, he came up with that idea and always wore sunglasses during the whole shoot. Never took them off. All right. Todd Allen was cast as Jim because John Tenney felt that he was the only one that was true to the role. And he did do a good role for that.
He played a real dick. So yeah, he played it well.
A stuck up asshole like. So I wonder if he's like that in real life.
Could be. He said, the commentary, the interviews they did, well, probably done about 10 years ago at this point, that he seemed pretty fun dude.
And he thought that he'd lost the role when he saw Tenney laughing while sitting in the auditioning room. But Tenney told him later that it made him laugh because it reminded him of the way he talked and acted. Allen received the benefit of returning with the filmmakers to read with the actresses that auditioned for the role of Linda, which Tawny Kitaen had read when he wasn't there, so he didn't get to read with her. And it doesn't go into who else read for the part.
No, I couldn't find anything on that either.
But I think she was sort of made for that part, though. She did a really good job, I think.
She did. She was perfect for the role. And she, again, the Whitesnake videos started to get popular right when the movie came out. So it helped the movie, and it probably helped Whitesnake just a bit. She was a gorgeous lady.
Yeah,
it's a shame that her life ended tragic because it did. You know, she passed away of, I guess it was an overdose.
Well, and she had mental issues.
She had mental issues later.
I think that's why her and Coverdale didn't last that long.
Yeah, Coverdale doesn't. He doesn't talk bad about anybody, like I said, but he didn't talk very favorable about her or John Sykes. Maybe I have to do a Whitesnake album here for a midweek since we keep talking about my Whitesnake.
I was thinking that earlier. But anyway, Tawny Kitaen, if you watch and look at her hands throughout the movie, her fingernail polish changes from red to
I noticed that
clear.
I did notice that.
Like 10, 15 times.
Yeah. I'd noticed every time. I'm like, well, what happened to her nails?
It's like, is she redoing her nails like every hour or something?
She could have been. It's possible.
Yes, it is.
Hey, wait a minute. Look who's back here. It's Pumpkinhead. He hasn't been on camera in a few weeks.
That's the real Pumpkinhead.
He fell on the floor and I couldn't find him.
Oh, no.
He's back. Pumpkinhead's back. He's back like we were on that one-year anniversary show.
Casting producer Rebecca Boss and Tenney found that Tawny Kitaen ideal for the part, as everyone the latter knew at his office, which were all males, and noticed her the most. I wonder why.
Pretty lady.
She had flown to New York prior to shooting, so Tenney called her up agent about making a deal, and she flew back on set when filming began. When she met Allen, they both became very intimate with their relationship. Really? Tenney saw that she brought an appeal and affected everyone at the time, which was something he initially didn't see.
Well, he sure wasn't looking.
Evidently, she was great on set, so she seemed like she would be fun.
Yeah. I don't know. Robin Crosby was crazy, so anybody that dated Robin Crosby had to have a little bit of a warpness to him.
Didn't he end up dying of AIDS?
He did, and it was actually a drug thing. He got it from a drug
IV
needle.
Drug use?
Yes.
Bummer. All right. You already went over about Stephen Nichols being Patch.
He is Patch. He's still Patch.
What's this? Shelley Hennig portrayed the daughter of Patch and Kayla, Stephanie Johnson, on Days of Our Lives before leaving for primetime TV and film roles like the horror flick Ouija.
Ah!
So that's pretty cool. Oh,
Patch and Kayla's kid was in Ouija.
All right.
There's you some trivia right there.
Malfador is the name of an evil entity.
Malfador. That is a good name.
It is. I'm going to say that a lot now.
Say that name a lot. Malfador.
Malfador.
Malfador. Hey, I just felt something crawl over my grave. I think he's here now.
What?
Robert, get him. Thanks, Robert. Robert just took rid of him.
Okay.
Robert, don't let nobody come in here.
What else you got about Ouija?
Ouija.
Witch board.
Yeah, witch board. It got a lot of critical pluses and minuses. Some compared it to Poltergeist and Rosemary's Baby and kind of felt that it was an atmospheric chiller more than a actual, you know, horror movie. And I sort of agree with that. It become a cult classic. I mean, I was watching this as soon as it came out on videotape, but as the years went on, it really become had a cult following. And, there's a little bit of wonderings about the two male characters, if they sort of might have been sweet on each other, and that Tawny came along and kind of ruined it for him, kind of a bromance maybe. You get any of the vibe of that?
No, not really. They seem like they pretty much hated each other to me.
Yeah, but I think Tawny might have ruined
before it. Like before?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe.
But I don't know.
What's there's his name? He dated her before the other guy, so.
Yeah, but they were like best friends.
Yeah, they're like best friends growing up.
And Tawny broke them up, but maybe there was something else going on. You never know.
You never know, man.
So the home media, it was released in VHS in actually June of 1987. So that's when it actually went out on videotape. It ended up at 18 on the charts on the Billboard Top 40 Video Rentals. So that's pretty good.
Hmm.
And it came out on DVD by Anchor Bay in 2004, and I was really happy to get that DVD. It would take us another 10 years. 2014, Scream Factory finally put it out on Blu-ray. And guess what? What do you think? There it is.
There it is right there.
The Witch Board on Blu-ray.
They ain't put it out on 4K yet, huh?
No. And this is only just an HD. It's not a 2K scan. But it looks really good on Blu-ray. Was really impressed with it last night. There's a lot of good features. There's an audio commentary, which I didn't listen to, that has Kevin Tenney and Stephen Nichols and James Quinn. Then there's a second audio commentary with the James Tenney and the executive producer. And there's new interviews with them all. Well, since this came out in almost 20 years or 10 years ago, it's sort of dated interviews now, but it was new at the time. And everybody had good things. All the actors and all the crew.
Was Tawny on the interviews at all?
He was, actually. She was.
Well, that's cool.
You could tell she was starting to kind of roll downhill by this point, unfortunately, but everybody has good memories and thoughts of it. They also included some of the vintage interviews and a making of, and stuff that was probably on the original VHS. So it's a good DVD, good Blu-ray. It comes with a DVD for anybody that for some reason don't have a Blu-ray player. And Scream Factory used to always double up on them back then. Yeah. They don't so much now. They're actually going into the 4K business, but it's still available. It's on sale on the Scream Factory webpage right now. So if you haven't seen this movie, you need to watch it. It's there were two sequels that came out. And
I haven't
neither
seen
one of
them either.
Neither one of them were very well. I've got Witchboard 2, which sort of follows this one from where it ended. The board is recovered and somebody else gets a hold of it. Witchboard 3, no. It's not good. It's not good at all. But yeah, pick this movie up or watch it on streaming if you can find it. I know the Scream Factory has their own little streaming channel. It might be on there. I don't know where you found it at.
I found it on... Where did I find it? Oh, Tubi.
Tubi's got it. There you go.
You can watch
so it's available. It, this is
and
an old, you know,
view,
lot of
free V or whatever that's out now.
Yeah. So this movie's easy to get a hold of, and I definitely recommend it. It's it does have some dated parts. Some of it's a little cheesy.
Yeah.
The ending is kind of dumb.
Yeah, it does have sort of a sucky ending, but yeah,
it's a good show. I definitely there's not much negative I can say about Witchboard, and again, it was a big influence on me and my occultism, I guess would be the word. So thanks to Kevin Tenery for bringing me closer to the occult with Witchboard. And yes, I'm not scared of Ouija boards. Sorry to people that are. I don't find any fear of them. I have played with them lots of times. I've had a few cool things happen. Very cool things in some cases. Nothing bad. I did have a friend take one of mine and burn it, they claimed. They took it out of the house and ran off with it. Said it was evil.
Evil?
Evil.
Very evil.
A Ouija board, not evil. Mm-mm. Not evil. That's all I got on it. Anything else for you?
No. What are you gonna rate it at, Carl?
Ouija board.
How many planchettes are you gonna give it?
Let's give it a 3.5.
Okay.
I mean, I could raise it up to a 4, but it is dated. It's an 80s movie. It's a low-budget movie. But that's a very high 3.5, closer to a 4.
Okay. We'll go 3.75 then.
Nah. I'm going to quit doing those 0.5s. I'll give it a 3.89. 3.89.
Oh, shit. That's funny. I'm going to give it a 3.
That's fair.
Midway, you know, I guess. Over midway, I guess.
It's a fun movie, and it's a movie I watch a lot. But I'm not going to lie to nobody and say it's like The Exorcist or nothing. The acting is pretty.
It's very campy. Very campy. The cinematography was great in it, I thought.
It was real good, and it holds up to this day.
Did a really good job with that.
They did.
I think they could have did a little more with a soundtrack, though.
Yeah, that 80s song sucked, but it was the 80s, for God's sakes.
Yes,
they could have got to, couldn't Tawny have brought a White Snake or a Rat song to the movie for him? I mean, that would have helped, maybe.
Yeah,
could have had... You're in Love from Rat playing there.
Yeah.
Then we don't know who's in love. Was it the two guys or was it Tawny Kitaen and one guy? Or
stop it.
Maybe it was they had a threesome going on there. I don't know.
Oh, shit. That's...
Who knows?
Who knows? It was the 80s.
Yes. That it was. And I was 15 years old when this thing came out. So there you go.
Yeah, I was in the Army. I was just had got out of the Army.
But I definitely would recommend Witchboard if you have not seen it. And again, it is available. It's not one of the 80s movies that's disappeared. It's out there, and give it a watch.
I definitely recommend it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it for Witchboard.
That's all.
And check us out on all the social medias. Like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. We didn't have no new subscribers this week, but we're up to 75 or 76, I think, now. So
jeez.
We're getting there. Ooh.
Wait till the Haunt Con, then we're really gonna go crazy.
And we hit 7,000 listens on the Audio Boom, and we hit 5,000 on the YouTube. So
the YouTube's keeping right up with Audio Boom. Yeah. So we've actually became a podcast that has become a video show. We're running neck and neck, so I'm impressed. Since we can't get rid of the black bars, especially.
Yeah, still.
So if anybody out there is an expert on YouTube video editing, Zoom,
yeah, it's got to be a Zoom deal for
let
sure.
Let Brett know how we can make the screen bigger.
Yeah, I've tried everything, and I'm pulling my freaking hair out. So
yeah, he blocked my pumpkin last week. Pumpkin is always on the show.
Oh,
so if you don't have YouTube, then
that was sort of screwed up too, because I got a new monitor set up and I didn't have everything adjusted right, so I was like way low down, like looked like I was a midget in the seat.
You did. I try to sit in the middle as much as I can now. I mean, I like to show off all the cool stuff, but one of these days I'm going to take some pictures of the museum again, probably closer to Halloween, and we'll post them in the group page.
Yep.
I've got some weird ass shit in this house. Like I said, I think my friend Mark was a little like, what the hell did I walk into?
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, watching, and stay evil, everybody.
David, are you here? Can you hear me?
It began at a party. It was only a game.
David, will you return to the living one day? Bullshit. Careful, Jim, you're upsetting David. David, are you all right?
Yeah, he's all right. He's just a little dead, that's all.
Shut up, Jim!
What's he gonna do, haunt me?
Hello, Linda. This is Brandon. I just realized I left my Ouija there the other night. I'm having some friends over Sunday, and they want to use it. Besides, I want to contact David and see if he's calmed down yet.
David, are you here? Are you still angry at Jim? David, where are you?
Man, don't tell me you brought that crap with Brandon and Edward.
Oh, please.
Boy, David, you should know how to hold a grudge, don't you? David?
I want to bring a medium by your apartment as soon as possible to exorcise the spirit.
Okay, we'll stop this from ghosts.
David, where are you?
You!
Did you cause that accident at the site? David, don't lie to me.
When someone uses a Ouija alone, like Linda, she's very susceptible to the spirits she contacts. And the wrong spirit will take advantage of this. Pretty soon, all she wants to do is use the board. And once that's done, he's able to possess her.
Linda has made contact.
Linda, unlock the door!
David is here, and he's playing for real. It isn't a game anymore. Witchboard. Don't play it alone.